achieving your goals and dreams? Is there a way to balance your work with other things you enjoy doing that will not make you feel like your time is being abused? At Born to Lead program, we help you to discover or rediscover your purpose or plan for life. We tell you how to find purpose in life. We are all born with a purpose. Join us on the journey to discover how other people have successfully achieved their dream or are on the path of doing so, and how you can do the same. This is Born to Lead. My name is Kizito, and I'm your host. Join us here now on 104.6 Planet FM. Good afternoon, Auckland. Good afternoon, the nation's business capital. This is the Born to Lead program coming to you live from the studios of Planet FM 104.7. My name is Kizito, and I'm your host as usual. So for today's show, we have a very special guest in our midst, who is going to be talking to us about what she does, what takes most of her time, and what she's been doing for the beautiful city Auckland. So that is the famous Osibi Saba, and say welcome home. And I'd like to welcome you once again to the Born to Lead show, coming to you live from the studios of Planet FM 104.7. All right, So welcome once again to the Bontily Show. So and those of you who have just joined us on Facebook, thank you and welcome once again. So as I said last week, so it's going to be a special edition of the Bontily Show. So we have our guest here who is seated right here that we're going to be interviewing, just to know what she's got for the people of Auckland and probably and beyond. So just to start, probably I'll let you know the kind of person we have in the hot seat for today on the Bontily Show. So she's an experienced legal and governance professional, an astute problem solver and strategy thinker, director and shareholder of Bell Booth and Trust, the longest serving trustee and the former chair of Entrust, non-executive director of Vector Limited, the chair of the New Zealand, that is Energy Trust of New Zealand, director of Energy Efficiency and Conservation Authority, that is EECA. She's a chartered fellow of the Institute of Directors New Zealand and a graduate of the Harvard Business School. And she's been awarded the Queen's Service Medal, which is QSM, which is given for people for their service to the community and the public sector. She's no other person but Karen Sherry. Is it Karen or Karen?
Karen.
Karen. All right. So, Karen, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
All right. So, tell us, who is Karen?
Karen.
Who is Karen?
That's a good question, because that's quite hard to talk about who you are and what you are. But,
I know.
Karen came to New Zealand when she was 12. From spending most of those 12 years in Europe and in Hong Kong. My dad was an English soldier. My mum was German, is German. They're both still alive, luckily enough, both 85 and causing chaos.
Awesome.
I did all of my schooling here, in my secondary schooling at Edgewater College in Pakuranga. I went to university at Auckland. I did a bachelor's degree in English and political studies first, then I did a master's degree in English. Then I went overseas for about 12 months, and then I came back and did a law degree. And so I suppose my day job is the work that I do as a solicitor under the brand of Bell Biz Sherry Limited. That's a legal practice that's based in Takapuna.
Yeah.
It's a general practice. I really practice in commercial, property, trust law, and estate administration and estate, asset protection, that sort of stuff. I've got a wide range of clients. I've got some clients that I just worship to death. They're wonderful. So that takes up quite a bit of my time, as you would imagine.
Yeah.
But the other things I do in the electricity sector is really my great love.
Yeah.
It's my love of my life. So, in a nutshell, that's me, really.
Wow, wonderful. So, Karen, what makes you jump out of your bed, decided to go to work?
Apart from the
it seems you've got a lot on your plate.
Terror of not getting everything done.
Yeah.
I've always been really highly motivated.
Yeah.
Ever since I was a kid, I didn't have to get told to do my homework. I actually enjoyed learning. I like the challenges that each day brings.
Yeah.
I want to make things change. You know, the world is a pretty amazing place, but it's not perfect by any ways, shape or form.
Yeah.
And I think human beings are put here to make it a little bit better than when they arrived. And that's what I'd like to be able to do. I'm not saying I achieve that, but that is my vision, to make things a little bit better for people who need the support and the help.
Yeah. I went through your bio before this interview, and I was like, wow. I was blown away. And so I want to ask you, do you really have a spare time? If you do, what do you do with your spare time? Because looking at the list, that's quite a lot.
I don't, the thing that I enjoy doing is I enjoy working.
Mm.
I do spend, I don't have a lot of time to spare, that's true. And a lot of my business, a lot of the work that I do sort of interfaces with people who I've become quite good friends with. But when I do have time off, I like to spend it with my parents, and I like to spend it with my dog and with the friends that I have. I don't have wild numbers of friends, but yeah. I have a really close-knit group of friends and who provide a lot of support, and I really appreciate that because, you know, I can't do what I do without the support of my friends and family and yeah. colleagues. And, you know, that's really important to me.
Awesome. I mean, it seems that, as you said, you have the support of a lot of people around you.
Yeah.
So if I should ask you, to name a person who has had a tremendous impact on your life, and why and how did they do that? Would you be able to tell us?
On a personal basis,
yeah.
It would have to be both of my parents who have provided, you know, a wonderful home and environment and have supported my, you know, I think sometimes they looked at me as growing up and shook their head and said, where did that come from? But they provided a tremendous amount of support
yeah.
all the way through school, all the way through university, even today. You know, they provide an enormous amount of love and care and attention. If you think about in the universe, who do I admire a lot? I recently had the privilege to meet a man called Sir Jonathan Porritt. He's
yeah.
from Forum for the Future. He's been doing an enormous amount of environmental work
yeah.
for, you know, the last 40 years. And finally, the world is seeing that, you know, what he has been working on and saying for that period of time is coming to pass in
yeah.
the world of climate change and sustainability and all of those things. And I must admit, when I met him about 4 maybe years ago, it really changed my whole way of thinking dramatically.
Yeah.
Who else do I like? Or who do I admire? I mean, I think Obama was a great president.
Mm.
I listen to what he has to say and I think, you know, this is a man who has tremendous heart
yeah.
as well as intelligence and a good soul. You know, but I'll tell you who else inspires me and why I get out of bed every day is I really admire ordinary New Zealanders
yeah.
who haven't been as lucky as I've been. And let's face it, I've been really privileged and very, very lucky. I've had a great life and some wonderful opportunities.
Yeah.
Ordinary New Zealanders, mums and dads who get out of bed every day, sometimes really early, and
yeah.
go and do what they need to do to look after themselves and their family. And it's a tough environment
yeah.
for a lot of ordinary people. And I think that, you know, if they can do that, then I should do better with what I've got.
Awesome. That's great. So tell us, also as a partner and a director of Bell Booth Sherry Company, what are some of the most important decisions that you have to make as a leader of the organization, and probably if you are to extend it to your role as a director for some of these
yeah,
numerous
Bell
boards.
Sherry is quite a small legal practice.
Yeah.
My partnership came to an end about 2 years ago, so now I'm the sole director and shareholder
yeah.
of that company. But I have 3 staff, so the responsibility is, one, you have to make sure they get paid every day.
Mm, of course.
So that means I have to perform, because
yeah.
if I don't perform and do the work or bring the work in, nobody gets paid.
Yeah.
And so fortunately, you know, I've always got a good group of clients and I have plenty of work on. It's a big responsibility running any size of organisation, whether it's a small organisation or a large organisation. You know, you still have to do certain things. You have to make sure people are safe. You have to
yeah.
make sure people are happy. You have to make sure that, you know, they have opportunities to grow. All of those things. But I'm very fortunate with my staff that they provide a tremendous amount of support to me to enable me to do what I need to do to support
yeah.
them.
Awesome.
And, you know, I've got wonderful clients, as I say, and it's really important to me that some of my clients don't have a lot.
Yeah.
And it's important to me that I'm able to provide services that they need at an affordable rate,
mm.
you know, because
yeah.
legal services in New Zealand can be, they can just be out of the reach of some people.
For ordinary
and,
people.
You know, part of what I do, I'm happy to do pro bono work or, you know, to just do things just to get it done. I think that's important.
Yeah. Awesome. So tell us, even though, I mean, from the look of things, it's quite a small business, how do you encourage creative thinking, you know, in your organization? Just, you know, because we live in a changing world. So, I mean, you have to be on top of the game,
yeah,
you know, as you said, for them to get paid. Because if you're doing the same thing, probably...
Well, you have to provide education.
Exactly. So how do you encourage that
well,
creative thinking in the environment?
You know, there are certain things that people have to do,
yeah,
right, to continue, you know... my trust accountant is a chartered accountant, so she has to do certain amounts of hours of education. My executive assistant is doing a legal exec course, and you know she's doing that off her own bat because she's interested.
Yeah.
I make sure that my environment, or I hope I make sure that the environment that I have with my business is one where, if there's a problem, they can feel free, whatever, to come through the door. And in a small it's very different in a small organization to a big organization like Vector, for example.
Yeah.
A small organization, everybody knows if you're having a bad day.
Yeah.
You can't hide it.
Yeah.
You know, and my job is to make sure there are as few bad days as possible.
Yeah.
And you have to lead from the front. So you have to step in front of your staff and be protective and lead them and make sure that, you know, if they're unwell, they can go home. You see, for example, I don't count sick leave. I don't care. They're sick, they stay at home, you know, because it's important to me, one, that they get well. But it's also important that if someone's got the flu or a cold or something, they stay home so that other people don't catch it.
Because, so if you don't put that into consideration, how do you measure that? How does that affect the business? How does that affect the business if you don't measure like things like, you know, sick leave, that's
doesn't
it, you know, out of the window?
Doesn't affect my business at all. Because the reality is, I think a lot of... if you can try and keep the stress levels down,
yeah,
you know, that might be an oxymoron in terms of a legal practice, but if you can try and keep the stress levels down and you can try and create an environment where people are as content as they can be, then people don't get as sick as if they're in a stressful,
yeah,
unhappy environment.
Mm.
So to me, it makes common sense. You know, it
yeah.
makes common sense as well as economic sense, as well as it's, you know, they're human beings. It's important.
Where did the good ideas come from, in your view? I mean, I'm sure you might have done a lot of great things in your company and probably some of the boards that you sit on.
I think good ideas come from having, you know, interesting, intelligent, challenging conversations with everybody that's around you, and encouraging people to be the best they possibly can.
Yeah.
And also an environment where people can just be comfortable in saying, hey, I have an idea, and know that 9 out of 10 of them might not work, but that one might be amazing.
Yeah.
And they shouldn't be afraid or uncomfortable or feel ridiculed if they come forward with those kind of ideas. You know, and I think as a human being, it's really important to me anyway that if people challenge me.
Yeah.
Because I'm not right 100% of the time, ever. Nobody is. But it's really important, you know, that my PA, for example, or EA, if she says, hey, I don't think this is quite right, I think that's great.
Awesome. So tell us, I mean, in most of the times, leaders are defined by the values that they believe in and what they demonstrate. So you as a leader, Karen, what do you demonstrate as a leader? What values do you demonstrate as a leader?
I think to me, the best quality a leader can bring, and it's one that I aspire to live up to, is that you treat people with dignity and respect and equality. No matter what their background, no matter what their education, no matter what their position, everybody in life deserves respect. I think that that's, you know, if we had a bit more of that in the world, I think we'd have fewer problems.
What is your style of leadership? How do you...
It's hard for me to say what my style of leadership is. I'm sure if you spoke to my EA, or she says one thing and my friends and colleagues would say another.
Exactly. So if you, I mean, yeah, as you said, so if your staff should be in the room and say, what do you think about Karen? What do you think they would say? Or in your view, what is your style? How do you, lead a team?
I think to lead a team, you have to be inclusive. You have to give everybody the opportunity to speak and to grow. And no idea is a bad idea. It's just an idea. With me, I like to get stuff done.
Yeah.
And if I think I'm right, I'll pursue it to the very end. But I've always encouraged my advisors or people who are around me, if they think what I'm doing is wrong, then they should tell me and be prepared to defend their corner as I defend mine.
Yeah.
And if I'm wrong, I'm fine. That's fine.
Have you ever taken a job that you were never qualified for?
No, I don't think so.
Great.
I've done some amazing jobs, though. I mean, when I was a kid at school, I worked in a coffee factory, a plastic factory. I read electricity meters during the university holidays. What else have I done? I've worked in restaurants, going through university. All of those. I suppose my very first day working in a restaurant, I wasn't particularly qualified.
I think that counts. So. Awesome. So tell us, in your view, what are some of the characteristics that you believe that a leader should possess? Or should, as you said, demonstrate?
I think leaders should be fearless. Mm-hmm. I think they should be prepared to defend their position. I think they should be prepared to be criticised. I think they should be prepared to change their position if it's seen to be the wrong thing. I think they should be compassionate and believe in democracy and equality.
Mm-hmm.
And not just believe it, but demonstrate it. And I think they should always lead from the front, not from the rear.
Okay, so walk the talk, right? Okay. In your view, what would be the biggest challenge that leaders are facing today?
I think the biggest challenge is that the world is changing very, very rapidly.
That's right.
Social license is changing enormously. People are recognizing that the power base needs to change. There needs to be more respect and equality and more opportunities for people who are, just ordinary people. They shouldn't be marginalized and sidelined. And if you put that kind of social license change on one level, and then you have all of the climate change issues on another, which are also going to bring enormous amounts of social change and changes that are lead to inequality. I think those are the two biggest issues. For example, what's going to happen when the sea levels rise and people get displaced because, where they're living is now underwater? What's going to happen to the refugee problem? Who's going to take them? How are they going to be looked after? How are countries going to afford to take them? All of those things need to be worked through. Then you're looking at, the hurricane that's just going through the United States.
Yeah.
There's going to be more and more and more of those, and the economic damage is going to be higher. How are people going to become resilient? In New Zealand, there's going to be more storms.
Mm-hmm.
How are we going to look after ourselves and our friends and our neighbours and make ourselves safe in the face of these storms, in the face of, things that are changing very rapidly.
Yeah. And I think there's something similar happening in the Philippines or Thailand. I think there's something similar as well. I think it's a cyclone.
Yeah, there's a typhoon coming through. It started in the Philippines.
The Philippines?
I'm thinking it's going to hit Hong Kong, because a friend of mine was just telling me. And, I've been through hurricanes and typhoons in Hong Kong. And it's when I was a kid. And it's nothing in comparison to some of the stuff that we're seeing
now. Terrifying.
you know, people need to be able to make themselves safe and do really basic things, and they need to understand what those are. You know, keeping water, keeping tinned food, non-perishable food, having an alternate source of fuel. Those things are really terrifically important.
From your experience as an experienced governance professional, what will be one mistake that you've seen a lot of leaders make all the time?
Oh, never thought about that.
Because obviously sometimes...
I suppose the one mistake is thinking that you're infallible. And thinking that the world is going to stay the same all the time, because it's not. You know, people get comfortable. You know, I'm guilty of getting comfortable. And when you get comfortable, you miss things. So the trick is to, as much as possible, get out on the edge, get out of your comfort zone, inquire, make inquiries.
So is it more about getting comfortable in a changing world and...
I think people get isolated and comfortable in their own little world and don't go outside that world.
Yeah.
And if you don't go outside the world, then you can't lead your company through change, because you don't know what's coming and you certainly don't know how to react to it.
Yeah, I'm asking that because, you know, in the situations where people are like, oh, well, that's how we've always done it. I mean, that's the way it is.
Yep.
You know, and instead of saying, well, what can we do? You know, they say, oh, that's how we do it.
Is there a smarter, better way? Nothing's written in concrete.
And following to that, what advice would you give to, you know, some of these leaders who keep on making some of these mistakes, or if I should say, or just, you know, keeping a blind eye, you know, ears on some of the things that are, you know, going on, especially
because usually.
Yeah, because it's quite strange, because most of the board members, you know, especially in New Zealand, I mean, quite, you know, elderly people, you know, sitting on the board. And do you think they've lost touch with the young generation when it comes to making some of the decisions?
I think this young generation is completely different to anything we've ever seen before, and I'm amazed by them. Inspired by them, frustrated by them, all of the above. But the new generation needs to come through, and the old generation needs to let it come through. And if you can, if you can get the old and the new working together without fear of each other, things will really, really make a difference, because there is wisdom. And then there is the ability of the young ones to adapt to this new environment with technology and with everything like that.
Yeah.
But I think the generations have to work with each other, not against each other.
Yeah.
That's what I think. I mean, I've got some lovely young friends.
Yeah.
You know, and it's great. Having some lovely young friends is wonderful, because it keeps me younger. And it keeps me in tune with what they're thinking about and how they're thinking about it. And sometimes my eyes just go open and I go, really? And sometimes they must think, you know, she's an old lady.
She has no clue.
But that's fine, you know. That's fine. You've got to communicate.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and following on that, how do you... I mean, because you were experienced, and sometimes the inexperienced have to learn from the experience, you know, and it's usually sometimes got to do with age, because you get more experience as they say, experienced is the best teacher, you know. So, I mean, with you as a seasoned board of director and, you know, what you've done over the years, I mean, how do you get people, how do you motivate the young ones to kind of start picking up, you know, roles and, you know, be more active in it, you know, in
firstly,
the world.
Young people need to understand what opportunities there are for them, and my job is to encourage them.
Yeah.
I honestly try to do that with all of, you know, the young friends that I have and in the work environment and all of that. You've got to make opportunities available for them. You can't just shut them down and say, oh, well, you don't know anything, because that's ridiculous. Everybody has a different intellect and a different experience. And the young people bring things to bear that older people don't, and older people bring things to bear that younger people don't. And I think the trick is to have conversations where neither side is feeling like they know it all, because none of us know it all. There's always room to learn, always. And it may be that experience isn't everything in this new environment. I mean, come back to climate change. None of us have experienced what's going to come at us over the next 10 years, 20 years. But we all have to work together to survive.
That's right. The last thing is, before we go on a quick music break, in your experience, and probably from your opinion, what is a leader's best asset? As a leader, what would be your best asset if you had to define
it? Best asset is your people. Mm. Every day of the week, it's the people that you surround yourself with. And, you know, if you don't have the skill in one area, you find the best possible person that you can get in that area. And I think it's a real skill not to be intimidated by people who are cleverer than you are, because it's always going to be people who are cleverer, more experience, more knowledge, better ability.
Beautiful. All right, ladies and gentlemen, so with us in the studio is Karen Sherry, who is the the director for Bellbluff Sherry, and also she sits on many boards in New Zealand. So she's the one we have in the studio today on the Born to Lead Show. So if you just tune in, you are listening to the Born to Lead Show, coming to you live from the studios of Planet FM 104.6. And our special guest today is Karen Sherry, that we are interviewing, the director of Vector New Zealand, as well as the Bellbluff Sherry Limited. So stay tuned, don't go away, we'll be right back. listening to the Born to Lead Show, coming to you live from the studios of Planet FM 104.6. My name is Kizito and I'm your host for this program. And today we have a very special guest, that is Karen Sherry, who is director of Vector New Zealand Limited, as well as the owner and director for Bellbull Sherry Limited, and she's a trustee on the N-Trust, which used to be, that is Auckland Energy Consumer Trust, right? Yeah, A-E-C-T. Okay, so we're going to be asking her some questions on that as well. So that is the next part of our interview. So Karen, thank you once again for coming on the show.
No, thank you for having me.
All right, so tell us, Karen, what is N-Trust?
N-Trust is a trust which was set up in about 1992 to hold the shares of what became Vector.
Yeah.
And we hold them on trust for the people who live in the old Auckland city, Manukau and Papakura areas. And our job is to provide the governance role and shareholding role of the company, and to appoint the board. But importantly, it's also to make sure that we pass through the dividend that we receive to the people who are the income beneficiaries within the district.
Yeah.
And this year, the dividend will be coming out fairly soon. And it's, I think, $350 this, mm-hmm. this year. And it will go to all of the houses who have a network connection with Vector in Auckland, Manukau, and Papakura districts.
Awesome. One other thing is, why was the name changed from Auckland Energy Consumer Trust, that is AECT, to N-Trust?
Because Auckland Energy Consumer Trust is a real mouthful to say. And it was time to move the trust's image forward a bit and to live into the new, you know, live in the new environment. And N-Trust, if you really break it down, it means Electricity Trust. So mm-hmm. I think it's a great name, and it's worked really well. And I think it's less of a mouthful than AECT.
So it's more like
nobody really knew what AECT
was. So it's a conjoined electricity and trust. So N-Trust.
Yeah.
That's pretty creative.
Yeah, it's a great name, isn't it?
Okay, so who are the beneficiaries? I think one more time, because I know it doesn't cover the whole of Auckland,
no,
right?
It doesn't.
Yeah, so basically, who are the beneficiaries of the trust?
It's basically the Auckland city side of the bridge, the old, what was Manukau City, South Auckland, and Papakura North.
So when you say Auckland, which means if you are on the other side of the bridge, you are not part of it?
No.
Okay. So all those at North Coast and all those areas, they are not?
Well, I'll tell you why. Mm-hmm. Because when all of these electricity trusts were set up, and there are about 23 throughout New Zealand still, on the North Shore they had a referendum, just as we did on this side of the bridge.
Yeah.
And the North Shore decided they want to have their shares in what was then Power New Zealand. So they got 100 shares, which have all been long sold.
Yeah.
And on this side of the ridge, we retained our shareholding. And so that means that the people on this side of the bridge continue to get the benefit.
Hold on. So you mean the Shore guys, you know, at the Golden Goose?
Yep. They ate the Golden Goose. They had about 100 shares. I think the average that they got for their 100 shares was about $320 to $340. That was way back in 1994, 93.
Wow.
And now, of course, people on our side of the bridge who entered into the referendum and said, keep the shares, they get $350 a year. Isn't that great? I think that's fantastic.
Well, that's awesome. But, I mean, okay, so coming to the other side of, which means excluding North Shore, even in Auckland, so Auckland City, you've got Manukau, right? Okay, and you've got part of Papakura. So why not the whole of Papakura? But because those in Papakura would feel like, why are you segregating? Because we are all part of Papakura.
No, it's the old Auckland Electric Power Board District.
Okay.
And the people on the other half of Papakura are part of the counties network, and counties has its own trust. So they would get their dividend or their benefit through their own trust, not through N-Trust.
Okay. How do you draw the boundary?
It was drawn
because Papakura is just one suburb. So how do you draw the boundary between?
It was drawn by the old Auckland Electric Power Board area.
Yeah, okay.
Just like the North Shore was the Waitemata Power Board.
Yeah.
This was the Auckland Power Board. And then I can't quite remember what the name of the old power board that was. It was County's Power Board, something like that.
Yeah.
And that goes back to the 1920s, those areas.
Wow.
Those boundaries.
Quite a long time ago. Okay. I live at Flatbush, which is all Manukau Heights. So I fall under the enclave, if I should put it that way. So I'm lucky to be part of, you know, that group. Okay. So which means I will be getting my paycheck. Is it this month or next month?
It's in September.
In September. Okay.
I can't tell you the exact security reasons.
Well, that's fine. So, and you said the dividend is this year is $350, right? And how many beneficiaries, household and businesses, do we have?
320,000.
320,000 household and businesses.
And so this is one of the challenges that the trust faces because the beneficiary numbers in the district are rapidly increasing. And so that means we have to make sure, you know, that that the company works harder and harder and harder, because even a good result may well in the future affect the quantum of dividends simply because there are more people who are income beneficiaries.
Yeah. And do you, from as compared to this year, which is $350 per beneficiary, do you, has it been increasing? Or
so,
for example, what you've been paying for the past few
years?
Yeah.
I think it was like $345 last year.
Yeah.
Something like that.
And what is the motive behind increasing it every year?
Well, we expect the company to perform.
Yeah.
We want the people to take the benefit of the performance.
Yeah.
But there may well come a time when the dividend is static because of beneficiary numbers or because maybe it's not such a good year. I mean, there are a lot of challenges facing infrastructure companies in New Zealand. And it's, you know, technical details. The Commerce Commission, for example, wants to keep the line charges as low as possible.
Yeah.
The generator retailers want to make as much money as possible. There's a lot of tension within the industry.
Okay.
And I won't go into details now because it is quite complex.
Yeah, I understand, which is fine. So 320,000 households and businesses getting $350 this year, and that's about over $110 million.
A lot of money.
Whoa.
A lot of money.
Okay.
And you know what's great?
Yeah.
What's great is that a lot of people really appreciate and rely on that. You know, they appreciate the fact that it comes to them, and it enables a lot of
as
people
a beneficiary,
who otherwise wouldn't be able to do things to do things.
Mm.
You know,
It really helps.
And that
to be
really
honest, I'm thinking about getting new toys for my girls. So, so that $350, I think, is gonna go a long way. And the other question is, why is it flat for, you know, for all the beneficiaries, both businesses as well as households, when we have people who, I mean, variety of, as you say, consumers, you know,
because
businesses using more, some houses using more, some using less. Why is it flat?
It's based on geography and connectivity.
Okay.
So if you have a connection, you get the dividend. And I think that's fair.
Okay. So if I own a business and I'm using more electricity as a consumer, I mean,
you just have one connection.
As compared to someone in a two-bedroom house.
Yep, you just have one connection.
Okay, all right. So, and what was the idea? Because people want to know, why did you keep it that way? I mean, why did you bring that up? That let's keep it flat. It doesn't matter whether you're a big consumer or a small consumer or a medium consumer. You all get the same amount of money.
It's fair.
Yeah.
I think it's fair. I mean, other people might disagree, but I think it's fair.
Awesome. Okay. So tell us, you are one of the trustees.
I am.
You are the longest serving trustee on the entrance.
But I'm still the youngest.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah. And so tell us, what is the role of the trustees on the entrance?
Well, the trustees provide a governance role over Vector.
Yeah.
So our job is to make sure that the board is appointed appropriately, that we act as a shareholder, that we encourage the company in its direction. For example, you know, I'm heavily involved in the climate sustainability change area, both at Vector level and at trust level. We also need to make sure that we get the dividend out, and receiving and paying the dividend out
That's right.
is an enormous job.
Which is the most important part of the job.
It is the most important part, it is. And the planning is, you know, we spend a lot of time each year planning to get the dividend out because we have to get the data in.
Yeah.
The other thing you have to understand is that the number of people who move within the district every month is something like 2,000 or 3,000 people.
Wow.
So we constantly have to check the data that the people who are on the roll are entitled to receive that dividend.
Okay.
That's a really big job.
So you mean people move into like other parts of Papakura, maybe North Shore, which they lose their, you know,
that's
their
interest.
Yeah, and the timing is very critical.
Yes.
So how do you know when to cut off people? You know,
well,
you get what I mean? Because people are moving constantly, you know.
Because
so how do you
do
work it out?
We strike what's called the distribution roll.
Yeah.
So say, I don't know, whatever date it is. Say, let's just say the 1st of September for argument's sake.
Yeah.
We call the distribution roll on that date. If you're on the network on that date, you get it. If you're not, you don't.
Wow.
And then the data gets cleansed.
That's very sharp.
Yep, has to be.
And harsh.
No, not really. Well, it depends whether you're on or off the roll, right?
So if I'm in transition, I mean, how do you, that's my point. How do you work it out? Because I'm sure there are a lot of people out there. Do you get any questions? People knocking your doors, telling you, why am I not getting it this year?
Because the rule is very clear.
Okay.
You know,
but do you get people asking questions, knocking on the doors? Okay.
As a trustee,
yeah,
we are responsible to pay that money to the people who are entitled to it.
That's right.
And logically, we have to determine that at a point in time. And it can't be otherwise. Otherwise, you'd never get the dividend out.
That's right.
So we call it on the date, and it's all, or everything we do is covered by our deed of trust. So if it's not on the deed of trust, we can't do it.
That's right.
And the deed of trust is really clear. It says you call the roll. It's this date. This is the cutoff time. If you're on the network, have a power account on this date, you're in. If you don't, you're out.
Okay.
But you could come back the next year and be in,
yep. Okay, that's cool. Okay, so if I'm one day in, I'm still...
Yeah.
You get what I mean? So if I'm just... If I just made it...
Yep.
So I'm going to get 350 as compared to someone who has been in for 365 days.
That's right.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
It does seem harsh.
Yeah.
Those are the rules.
That's where I say it's a bit harsh.
Yeah.
You know, that's where my comment of be harsh comes in. But I think that's the rule. It is what it is, right?
It is.
Okay. Tell us, 3 years ago you had elections. So every 3 years you have elections to appoint new trustees. So Aucklanders or those who fall within the enclave get the opportunity to elect new trustees, right? So tell us about the elections coming up this year.
The elections are, the voting papers are going to go out on the 11th of October.
Okay.
The voting closes at 5 p.m. on the 26th of October when the interim results will be released.
Yeah.
So if you get the dividend, you'll get voting papers. And just like there's one dividend per house, there's one voting paper per house.
Okay.
So, you know, whoever basically gets the voting paper first gets to vote.
Okay.
So, you know, you get to pick five people that you want to be the trustees.
Okay. So it doesn't matter about the residents. It's about the household. So, for instance, if I move before the date of elections, although I've got my $350 and I just moved out before the election starts, so the new tenant of that particular household has to do the voting, although they might be coming from North Shore. Did you get my point?
That's not how it's going to work.
Because
the voting paper roll has already been called.
Okay.
So the it will be being printed.
Yeah.
So the voting papers will turn up in your letterbox on the 11th of October if you were on the roll when the print when it was
done. Yep.
And if you've moved and your neighbor and the new person doesn't send you on the voting papers, well, you know, you miss out on the chance to vote.
To vote, okay.
And, of course, the question is, having moved, should you be voting?
Mm.
But I'm not here to answer that question.
Yep, that's true. Okay. So are you standing again for the next 3 years?
Yes, I am.
Beautiful. So tell us, why should Aucklanders be voting for Karen Sherry? I mean, you have been outstanding, and you've served this trust for a very long time. I mean, why should we give you another 3 years?
Well, that's a good point. I have been here a long time, and some people would say it was time for me to move on. But
you are the youngest.
I'm still the youngest. I've got a lot of experience in this industry, a lot of experience as a trustee.
Yeah.
And I am absolutely adamant that I intend to keep this trust going for the benefit of the beneficiaries of AnTrust.
That's right.
I have no appetite to sell. I want to keep this trust going for its lifetime so that you and your children and your grandchildren can continue to receive this dividend. And I think it's really important that you have trustees who are interested in seeing the new energy future come to fruition, because the energy is changing. You know, we've got the climate change issues, but we've also got solar and batteries, and, you know, everything is changing.
That's right.
Need to have leadership at trust level so you can have leadership at Vector level to keep Vector doing the job that it's doing in that renewable space. That's terrifically important.
Yeah, awesome. The arrangement that you have as at now expires in 80 years' time? I read something on your, I think, 2073?
I think the trust now comes to an end in about 63 years' time.
Yeah, so 2073.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
okay.
So it was an 80-year trust.
Yeah. So what happens after 80 years?
After 80 years, it will go to whatever entity is its capital beneficiary.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Wow. That seems, well, at that time, you'd be gone, long time gone.
Oh, I'm going to live forever.
And I would be really old if I am to live. I mean, I would be really, really old. In about 63 years' time. tell us. I know you have a role on Vector, right? I mean, what do you do on Vector?
Okay.
I mean, is it because you are a trustee on the AnTrust?
AnTrust can appoint two of its trustees to Vector as directors.
Yeah.
And I'm fortunate enough to be one of them.
Okay.
On the Vector board, I chair the Risk Committee, and I also chair the Sustainability Committee, as well as doing the other tasks that a director does.
So as a non-executive director of Vector, that is your portfolio?
That is my portfolio.
Okay. All right. And how is that going? Because I'm sure beneficiaries will love to know more, because technically it's theirs, right? Because AnTrust is the majority shareholder of Vector, over 70% shares?
75.1.
Good. So, I mean, we would love to know what you are doing on our behalf as beneficiaries on Vector.
Yep. So, you know, my job as chair of risk with my risk manager, and we've got a fantastic risk manager. She also runs sustainability at Vector, is to basically look into the future and see what risks might be heading our way.
Yeah.
And then to make sure that we mitigate those risks as best we're able to, and that the company is resilient. On the sustainability committee, my job is to look at things like climate change, resilience in the workforce, equality, how we treat our people, you know, the positions that we take in the world in respect of certain issues. And then to drive those through the business and get good, you know, practice, democratic, equal practices throughout the business.
Yeah.
It's two quite big portfolios, but it's, you know, I enjoy doing that work, and I work hard at doing the job that I've been. I'm very lucky. I'm very privileged to be there.
Yeah.
And I've been there a long time.
Yeah. It seems that you've got a lot of things under control. I mean, which I personally, you know, I have to declare that, I mean, I'm going to be voting for you, so it doesn't matter what they say. But, yeah, you have my vote, okay? Because I've kind of followed you, and I think you get the work done, okay, Karen? The other thing is, so with Vector, which I'm a little bit curious. I mean, I just want to know what is the relationship between Vector and AnTrust? I mean, as a majority shareholder in that company.
Well, AnTrust is the majority shareholder. It has a governance role.
Yeah.
Vector, however, drives the business.
Okay.
So AnTrust does not drive Vector. The company is accountable to the board of directors.
That's right.
And it's the board of directors that sets the strategy for Vector. And And trust has a relationship with Vector. So we, you know, we have to do certain things. We have to vote for direction and all of that stuff. But basically the board of Vector sets the director for Vector in consultation with management.
Okay.
And some of the stuff that Vector is doing in renewables is just amazing.
Awesome.
Absolutely amazing.
Okay.
And, you know, we've been putting some, in South Auckland, we've been putting batteries into schools, which has dropped their electricity price significantly.
Wow.
You know, or use, should I say.
Yeah.
All of that sort of stuff. It's really important that you understand.
Little things with big impact.
Yeah, all of the other things that can have an impact on us.
Who owns the other 25% of Vector?
Basically, mum and dad shareholders.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mums and dads and private individuals.
All right. And the dividend from Vector, it's how do you, I want to understand, is that what the 350 is coming from?
Yes. So what happens?
Yeah.
Vector, say Vector declares a dividend of $100.
So
because Entrust is 75.1%, it gets 75.1% of that $100. The other 24.9 go to the other independent
shareholders,
minority shareholders.
That's right.
And then we distribute the 75% out, 75.1% out to
the beneficiaries. Okay. Awesome. All right. One other thing that I'm very curious about is that you are the only woman on Entrust board. I'm not sure about Vector. Are you the only woman?
No, we now have three women on.
Three women
on the Vector
out
board.
Of.
We have three women on the Vector board. As of recently, we appointed a woman from Australia, Sarah Kruger, who's wonderful, really smart woman. And we have Dame Alison Patterson as well.
Okay. I mean, the other challenge for me personally is that, and I'm sure a lot of people will share this with me, that, I mean, it's not enough to have some of these boards with few women, some of them none. I mean, how... What do you think we should do as a society to get more women to be part of most of our governance board, especially in the public sector and private
sector? It's not just about getting more women on the boards. It's about getting the right women on
the boards. That's right, yeah. If I should put it that way, sorry,
And it's not just about... Diversity isn't just about putting women on boards. It's about putting different cultures, colours and creeds, if you like. Because if you mix it all up,
it has to be broader. Yeah, that's right.
Thinking because you have the different experiences.
That's right.
So, you know, I've worked with some women who would, you know, who would basically trample over you in the pursuit of their ambitions.
Yeah.
So there are some women who are no different to men, just like, you know, some men who don't want to have anybody else apart from people who are like themselves.
Okay. So you're saying it's not really about the gender, but getting the right people on the board.
I think it's always about getting the right people.
Okay.
I think there is gender imbalance, but I think there's cultural imbalance as well.
That's right. Yeah. It's both.
It's both.
Cultural imbalance and gender imbalance. But I think it is the gender imbalance that is being drummed a lot. That why aren't our young people? So my question is, how do we encourage, because there are a lot of competent women out there. But what is stopping women from just applying? You get my point? You know, for some of these roles and positions, because it's being dominated by men.
I think they do apply. I don't think they get through. I think you know, New Zealand is a small place.
Yeah.
And whether you like it or not, certain people control who and where people get roles, and that needs to change. Because a lot of it is still not about how talented you are, it's how connected you are.
Awesome. What would be your last word on the Born to Lead show, Karen?
Thank you for having me here. It's been a pleasure and a privilege to speak to you.
All right, so that brings us to the end of today's Born to Lead show. And thank you for coming on the show, Karen. It was a pleasure having you.
No, thank you.
Cheers.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you. All right, so that brings us to the end of today's Born to Lead show. Thank you all for those who join us. Join us same time, same place next week. And have a wonderful week, and God bless you. Bye. Bye.